Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. My name is Frankenberry, and ladies, after taking a little bit of a break as we headed into the holidays, we are back with a brand new fresh show. So I'm assuming it will be fresh.
It depends on your definition of fresh.
Good point.
Jonna, what's your middle initial?
Yeah, right. It's not F.
It's not F, right?
No. But yeah, I know. I missed you guys. Everybody, a happy new year to we have six listeners now, right? I thought last count.
No, I think our last count was
somewhere
eight.
Around there,
eight?
Six, seven.
Okay.
Oh, up to eight.
I know.
Oh,
well,
we're up to eight.
I think it's up to eight. So, I mean, whatever the number is, I mean, it's astronomical and, you know, all we're doing is bragging about ourselves. So we should stop.
Yeah. Well, we are big deals now.
We don't want to be, you know, those people, you know,
exactly.
With our noses in the air.
Self-aggrandizing.
That's right. Pinkies up kind of folks. We don't want to do that.
Right. Pinkies up. Not when we're drinking tea, when we're drinking margaritas.
Yeah. Exactly.
So good. Well, I'm glad everybody had a nice holiday and all that jazz. I had a few things to complain about, but, you know, I think I'll start with my best one. I had a totally unexpected, new and improved kind of wardrobe malfunction while we were away. Like,
oh, no.
But wait a minute, guys. It's not even the kind of wardrobe.
New and improved.
Like, you can't even contemplate this as a wardrobe malfunction, but it does fit into the wardrobe malfunction category. And you know how famous I am for my wardrobe malfunctions. Yes, you remember.
Yes,
we do.
We recall.
So I'll give you just a little quick backstory on it. And Carol knows this, and Frankenberry, you might too. So you guys know that I have a place in the city. And since the pandemic, I decided that I didn't need as grand a place in the city. I just needed kind of a little tiny place in the city. So I moved into a new apartment. And when you do that, obviously you've got to get, like, I have Verizon, for example. I'm not giving them a shameless plug, but you got to come and set up all your internet and all that good stuff when you move into a new place. And so I did that over the break, and I'm in the new place, and the Verizon guy, who, sidebar, is not that bad looking. He was like a decent looking guy, single guy, you know, kind of, you know, youngish guy, comes over to do whatever he needs to do in the apartment, which ended up taking forever, but that's a side note. So I'm alone with him in the apartment, and I am, you know, I'm wearing like junky kind of moving clothes, including a pair of boots that I haven't worn in a long time. I don't know where they were.
You were going to say like 4-inch heels instead of 5. And that's your moving attire.
Yeah, because, you know, that would have really, really confirmed this as a movie setup. those movies.
You guys know me very well. And of course, I didn't spend the entire move in old junky boots that I hadn't worn in a long time. But it just so happened that on this day, like sometimes when I have to lift things, I go with a little lower heel. So I'm in these boots.
Not the garbage, though.
And no, of course not. The garbage is high heels, no bra. Okay. So I'm in the apartment, and it's just full of boxes and stuff. And this, you know, kind of cute youngish guy comes, and we start chatting because that's what you're supposed to do. Like, I'm just sitting there hovering over his shoulder. And so I learned a little bit about him, and I decided to, and don't judge me for this, I decided to get my flirt on just a little bit. I mean, just be like, not, I had no intention of doing, and that is not where this story is going. There's no boom chicka bow bow going on here.
I was just going to ask, what music was playing, Jonna?
No, I promise you, this is not.
Let's get it on.
Exactly. This was the day that John had decided to break out some crap from the 70s.
Right. No, so that's not where this is going. But I did just decide to, you know, like sometimes if you're, and it's been such a long time since I've like gone out to maybe a bar or something single and just got my flirt on and that's all I ever intended to do. But now I'm in this, my apartment and I'm getting my flirt a little bit on. I don't know. I figured maybe he'd give me like extra bandwidth or something for free. Who knows, right?
Shameless.
So because I had that horrible thought, God punished me in that I'm padding around the apartment. We're just chatting a little bit of personal stuff. When all of a sudden I'm just walking around and I take a step down and with my left foot from inside these old boots, I hear a sound that can only be described as that which a whoopee cushion would produce if a person sat on it. And I'm not even exaggerating. You guys know I don't exaggerate. So I'm like, holy cow. Now I hear the sound and it's clearly my foot. At least I know it's clearly my foot. But now I don't know, and I'm flirty, and I'm alone, and I don't know whether I should now explain this or if I just let it go.
Oh God!
Right. So now I'm taunted by this. This decision. I don't know what to do. So I kind of just, you know, like if you've ever performed on stage and you flub up a move, you just keep going and you hope that the audience doesn't notice. At least that's what I was always taught as a kid.
Exactly. I've been there.
I decided to do that, right? So I just act like I just keep on going. Well, that probably would have been okay, except the left boot decided that it too wanted to keep on going. And now every freaking step, every other step with my left foot in these damn boots in this tiny little silent apartment because I have no internet, no TV, no sound of any kind.
Oh, he's
whoopee cushioning me while I've got my flirt on with the Verizon guy. And to this day, I have not. I didn't know. I just started tiptoeing. I didn't know what to do.
You see, that's when instead of just, you know, bringing it up straight up, that's when you start dancing around the apartment. So he realizes the sound is indeed coming from your feet and not your rear end.
But how was he ever going to discern that? How would he ever discern it?
Well, that's when you mentioned the fact that, hey, look what my boots can do. I'll bet yours can't do this.
Frankenberry, have you met me?
Twice. I have, yes.
maybe you could tell me the exact right words I should have used with this stranger in my apartment without using the word that most people use to describe the sound that was coming from my foot to explain that it was indeed coming from my foot and still be sexy and flirty. Go.
Yeah. Okay. The next thing you know, my boots are going to be shooting butterflies out of their sphincter.
Yeah, that's an icebreaker.
Oh, yeah. You know, then I thought of like maybe turning it around. I could have been like, what was that noise? Was that you? Like, I didn't know what to do. What I
thought, you're like, damn it, where are my dogs when I need them?
I should have changed my shoes, but it was, everything was in a box. I had like no, like I was just, I had no choice. That's why I started walking very softly.
Vowing to never wear those boots again. Just throw them out?
No, I still got them and they're still doing it. So it wasn't even like, you know, the universe was messing with me. Like it's they're just doing it all the time. Just that one on the left side. I can't figure it out. I mean, but I even did like the flirty thing. What?
Were you wearing socks?
So no, maybe that was.
Were you wearing socks?
No.
Yeah.
That was a problem, probably.
That could be it right there. Yeah. Got some squeaky foot thing going on.
But like.
So did you keep your flirt on after it happened?
Well, then for a moment, I said, maybe I should be extra flirty to kind of make up for it because now he thinks that I'm, you know, disgusting. So, you know, I did, I had to get on a, like a step stool and reach in a high place. And I reached up and like put one little leg up behind me all dainty. Oh, like
you did that.
You in a film from the 40s, for God's sake?
Yes, I did.
Holy crap.
And then I did it again. And it was like in the kitchen. And he goes, oh, do you cook? And I
the story's getting funnier by the minute.
Well, obviously,
Johnny,
he noticed.
Sitcom.
Well, I answered him honestly. I said, not even a little bit. But my leg was still bent behind me in the air as I was reaching up to the high shelf.
That's when you should have given him our friend Amy Gopel's answer about cooking.
What's that? What's her answer?
She says, I'll only cook in one room of the house and it ain't the kitchen.
Oh, but oh, boom. I'm here all week. Tip your weight, Steph.
Oh, that's a great answer.
Oh, Jonna.
That is a great answer. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. So he's single. He likes to barbecue. I guess he doesn't mind women who, you know, because he must think I did that all over the place the entire 4 hours that he was in my apartment.
Meanwhile, the poor guy in his head's going, wow, what did she eat last night?
Maybe that's why he asked me if I cooked.
Exactly. Did you, what food did you order in last night?
Oh, God. I was just so mortified. I was absolutely mortified.
You know, I got
to
tell you.
This has to be epic wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah, that is a good one. But I have to tell you, there was one time at one radio station I worked at where half of one of the morning shows for a different station was a very, very attractive young woman. And I had I was just walking down the hall and I walked into an office before I would go back to my station. And man, I just had an accidental one fall out. She was in that office. Yeah. Oh. And she was in that office. And I just looked and I was like, all right, Steve, what are you going to do? You have a couple of choices here. And then I just said, you know what, Steve? Just laugh.
That's what you did?
That's what I did. I just laughed and I looked at her and I went, oh, that wasn't embarrassing. Now, was it? I'll see you later. I'm out of here.
As you walked downstairs and resigned and left the building.
Exactly. I handed in my papers. I'm done.
Oh my God.
Next time, just find a little step ladder and get on it and bend one leg behind your back real dainty, like
exactly.
Let your little t-shirt expose your belly button, your little hairy belly button. Do that.
Hairy belly button. John, I hope that you don't develop like a fear of wearing boots or anything now after this happened.
It's, you know, it could be a problem. I mean, physically, what would make
a she boot missed it. Like
that? Oh, no. Did you make a sound effect?
No, I dropped the Sabu and missed it. You didn't pick it up.
She did the usual there, Spielberg.
Shoot. Can you go back? Can you say it again?
I hope you don't develop a fear of wearing boots.
Very nicely done.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was pretty yeah. good. Although, wait a minute. No, maybe what? I could make the fear of wearing boots my homeboy.
Okay, there you go.
Damn.
Double whammy to go.
Oh, yeah.
Drop
that was
both
a double to go.
Oh, excuse me. All right, so if you're wondering what we're talking about, our guest coming up in the next segment is Judy Holler. She is the author of the awesome book, Fear is My Homeboy, How to Slay Doubt, Boss Up, and Succeed on Your Own Terms. I'm loving this book. I've been following her on Instagram. She's got awesome energy. So when we come back, we will be talking to Judy Holler, author of Fear is My Homeboy.
All right. That sounds good. That is, that is what we have on the way. Judy Holler and more from Happy Hour with Jonna Spilgore and Carol Pesci. We will be right back. So stick around.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here this morning with Jonna Spilgore and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and it's segment number two. And segment number two, of course, is where we get to our guest. And I think pink is in mind today. Is that correct there, Carol?
Yeah, you guys know that I'm attracted to three things besides my husband and my dog. Shiny things, pink things, and smart people. So... I happened to hit the trifecta here. So I'm so excited with our guest today. We have on the line with us Judy Holler. She is the author of my next favorite, newest favorite book, Fear is My Homeboy. She is also the creator and the CEO of House of And. She's going to tell us what that's about, a bespoke methodology and lifestyle brand that helps teams, companies, and people inside them open the doors to what's possible. Judy's work has been seen in Forbes and Success Magazine. She's an alumni of the Second City Observatory in Chicago, having received her professional, I can't even say professional, how bad is that, improv training, and brings this mindset to her top-rated podcast, Yes And, with Judy Holler, where she focuses on mental health, high-performance habits, and spirituality. She has worked with companies like Four Seasons, Marriott, Bank of America, T-Mobile, the Boston Red Sox, the Ritz-Carlton, sharing the power of the improvisational mindset with her interactive, high vibe, and inspirational keynote speeches. She's here to talk to us about her book, Fear is My Homeboy, How to Slay Doubt, Boss Up, and Succeed on Your Own Terms. Judy, welcome to Happy Hour.
Okay, thank you. It's so good to be here. And can you just please follow me around life and introduce me everywhere I go? That was awesome. Thank you for that. This is what happens when you bring in the professionals. Like, you guys aren't in radio or anything, are you?
Oh, that's great. I am absolutely loving your book. And as I was joking with you before we went on air, the cover got me first because it's gorgeous. It's my perfect favorite color, pink. Thank it's got you. White and gold on it. It's beautifully done. Before we get into your backstory, did you have a vision for your cover, or did somebody come up with it and you kind of fine tuned it, or did you see it first?
I love that you're asking this. I don't get asked that a lot. My cover is always commented on, but no one's really asked me sort of if that was, intentional or not. And it 100% was. You know, I'm very big into, visualization. I'm a visionary by trade, by nature. It's how my heart beats. It's how my head thinks. I see things a lot of times before they're sort of physically in my hands.
Specifically, yes.
Yeah. Like specifically as it relates to the products I create in the business. But I knew, and you know, here's the deal. We're living in a world, you know, the Instagram world or whatever, right? It's all about, like, I think about when I share something online, usually it's me making a statement about myself, right? It's me saying, I'm going to share this, but I'm also letting you know who I am, how I vibe, what I roll with, and what I believe in. And I knew that if I caught attention with the book cover, I would attract like-minded people. And I knew my power color has always been like fuchsia. I knew it had to be fuchsia, and I knew it needed some gold foil. And then the rest I sort of left to the design team. But like, I knew I wanted people to photograph this book. There was to be fully transparent, a marketing tactic. I think if you're writing a book, you have to think like, will someone want to photograph this? Will they want to share it? And oh, by the way, when they open it up, will they also go, oh my God, this is actually great. And I'm going to learn something along the way. Yeah.
And yes, and yes, and yes. And I love that. I love that answer. And the reason that I asked you that, you just had mentioned the cover of my book, Hello Beautiful. One of the things that helps that, and I put my heart and soul into that as well, but it's women like photographing it on Instagram. So that has helped me. But my first book, Happy Bitch, I designed the cover before I wrote the book. I designed the cover for Hello Beautiful before I wrote the book. So I am a sister from another mister. The visualization, because I wanted in my mind the book to be done. Like, I printed it out and put it in front of me. I'm like, okay, it's just execution. I got to write it. So this is why I'm so interested in that piece of your process.
Can I tell you one more thing, Carol, to that point, to anyone listening who's got a book on their heart? You know, as you think about writing a book, if that is something you feel called to do, I mean, you have to think very seriously about the marketing of it, because here's the deal. You could have the best intellectual property in the world, the best life-changing ideas in that book. And really what resonates with me is going to resonate differently for you, and et cetera, right? But what a shame if no one picks up the book, right? So we've got to be thinking about, like, what is going to make someone want to freaking grab this off the shelf? Maybe it's the title. And maybe it's the spine.
The right person. And the right person. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, they say don't judge a book by its cover. Yes, yes, judge a book by its cover. So anyway, let's get into your backstory. Tell, and I've read a good part of it so far. I kind of know, but what inspired you to write this book? What's the backstory that you became the author of Fear Is My Homeboy?
Well, I think the story that solidifies not only why I wrote the book and how it led to all the work we're doing now inside the House of And, which is really the evolution of that intellectual property. It all began at Second City. It all began with an improv class. And so one of the stories I tell from the keynote stage is the story of me signing up for improv at Second City in Chicago. And I was working in sales and marketing, corporate America by day, and sort of by night, you know, new to Chicago, looking for something to, you know, just add something new to my life. I was single, all these things. So I'm like, you know what? I've always had the itch. I know of Second City. I have a bit of a performance background. What do I have to lose? Let's go take a class. So I sign up for classes. I pay the fee, the full fee, the non-refundable fee, by the way, because it's Second City. If you don't show up, they're not going to give you their money back, right? So, okay, I pay this fee and I show up to the Second City Training Center and I stand in front of the classroom door. And I never went in. I was 30 years old when I took my first ever improv class. I didn't go in. I was so chicken. I was so afraid that I was too old, that I was too late, that everyone would make fun of me and all these little whippersnappers are trying to be on Saturday Night Live. And who did I think I was? And did I mention I'm not funny? And oh, by the way, I'm freaking 30. Like I thought I was an ancient fossil at the time. And I know we're all going to be laughing at this because to be 30 again, goodness, right?
Yes.
So,
well, I am.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
Well, perpetual 30.
I love it. I love it. So anyway, I quit the first time, right? And it took me 2 years to go back to the improv classroom. I ended up signing up 2 years later and repaid the fee and went back to the Second City. And at this point in the keynote, as I'm telling this part of the story, I flash a photo on the screen and it's my first ever improv ensemble. And I highlight the first person I ever met and her name is Shelley. And at the time, Shelley was a 55-year-old University of Chicago professor taking improv to like think on her feet in the classroom. And then in the back of the photo was a guy named Frank, who was a sales guy taking improv to be like a more confident presenter. And here I was waiting for like almost 2 years. And the point I make, and it's what led to everything, is this. When you are brave enough to open the door, despite your knees shaking like little Bambi, despite your fear, despite your self-doubt, despite all the self-sabotaging, limiting behavior beliefs we have that can sometimes be rooted way back into our childhood, when we are brave enough to open new doors, despite that, it's where the magic begins. It's where everything happens. Okay. And it's how we step into what's possible. So that began the journey of me using the ideas from the improv theater to reframe my relationship with fear, because everybody was asking, how do I get rid of fear? How do I get rid of fear? Oh, be a fearless girl, be a fearless girl. And I was like, dude, I am one of the most afraid people you will ever meet in your life. Like, is there something wrong with me here? And then I was like, no, actually, I've been using my fear. Fear has been a best friend, my homeboy, my ride or die, like my partner in crime for years, because I've been able to use my fear to get me out of bed in the morning, to get me moving so I can make money to pay my bills, to get me putting myself out there and doing the uncomfortable things in order to make the kind of living I want to make. So in a nutshell, that's the story. I wanted to change the conversation on fear because we can't be fearless, but we can certainly figure out how to fear our fear just a little bit less.
Wow. Okay. So you say something right in the beginning of your book that made me pause before I even turned the page because you hear about being fearless and people, you know, people think being fearless means that the fear doesn't exist. Mm. But I think it's more about being brave. Say in your book, you can't be brave unless you are scared first. Mm. So reach for brave.
Yeah.
And that's what you were just saying. And I think being brave means you got to realize what you want on the other side of it is more important than the fear that is the door.
Oh, like if you are afraid, if you are listening to this right now and you are afraid, congratulations, you're probably doing it right. Like, if you could fail, guess what? Welcome to the party. You're doing it right, right? If you couldn't fail, stakes probably aren't high enough. If you're not afraid, is it really the thing for you? I think anytime the stakes are high and anytime we're leaning into something that is our life's calling, our purpose, that little tap on the shoulder that says, you know what, you were born for this. You were really made for something bigger. But I don't know what that's going to look like. And I'm going to go ask you to open that door. Now, I don't know what's going to happen on the other side of it, but I need you to go open it. Like, it's okay to be afraid in those moments. Like when you've done something, when you're doing something you've never done before, rather, you're not supposed to know what you're doing. You're supposed to feel a little uncomfortable. So yeah, let's chase brave. Let's call it for what we're really doing. Like, we're being courageous. We're being brave. We are not fearless. I loathe that word. I think it gives people, there's this great quote. I've got to tell you this. So Elizabeth Gilbert, y'all know who Elizabeth Gilbert is. She's written $1 million.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I love her and I love Big Magic.
Oh my God. Okay. So Big Magic was the book that it is one of the books that changed so much for me. And in that book, in Big Magic, Elizabeth Gilbert says this. She says, listen, the only fearless people I know are five-year-olds and sociopaths. So no, babe. The goal isn't fearless. We don't want to be five again. And we are not sociopaths. So no, the goal is brave. Right? And I've never forgotten that. I've always thought that that was a really powerful reminder of what it means to be courageous versus fearless.
See, that's so interesting because a lot, like I used to call myself fearless and I still consider myself to be fearless. But I think what the issue is, we need to redefine what fearless means, because what you say is exactly on point. People are not compelled to change, to improve, to do anything, to reach for whatever they want to reach for in life, unless they have that fear. And I say that because people, if you've ever met somebody who is kind of like ho-hum, they go to their regular old job, they're never really happy, they're just sort of miserable, that I guarantee you that person does not reach for a single star because they don't want to be uncomfortable. They don't want to face those fears. So they live this really sort of, I'm going to say it, like boring life. And nobody really wants to be boring. So when you let the fear smack you in the face, but you smack it back, is when you can really find, you know, your goals, and you can set those goals and achieve those goals for yourself. I mean, so it's a different definition of fearless, I guess.
I love that on so many levels. Yes. And what I love about what you said is a play we could do here, because we could flip fear on its head and do with goals what goals don't expect us to do. So for example, a lot of times what I'm doing is I am rooting my goals in the things I'm afraid of. So if I am afraid of being broke, then I know what my goals need to be. If I am afraid of never working again, then I know what my goals need to be. If I am afraid of getting sick and having an old crotchety body at 85 years old, then I know what my goals today need to be. I mean, the only guarantee we have is today, and tomorrow is a hopeful wish. We can certainly plan for the future, but at the end of the day, we have no script, and today is what we do have. So I, a lot of times, I'm using my fears, those things that keep me up at night, to motivate the goals and choices and boundaries I apply today to make them a reality. And that is a way to dance with fear. That is me saying, oh, hi, fear. Welcome back into my office. Welcome back. Do you ever take a day off? You sure don't. Hi, I'm glad you're here. I mean, I felt it before I got on the show with y'all. Who am I to be here? What, oh my God, what are they going to ask me? We have no script. Wait, hold on. Am I smart enough for this? Oh my God, what if I bomb? Oh, should I have put lipstick because I just, you know what I mean? We're not on a camera. So you get what I'm saying. We do this dance with ourselves.
Yeah. And that is fear.
That is fear. And it's like, thank you for being here. But because I have that fear, I did the work before this interview. I did the best I could to get myself in a great place. I set up an environment that feels quiet and peaceful. I spent some time sitting in quiet before I got here. I changed the soundtracks in my head from you're not smart enough to you are worthy to be here, right? You have earned your place here. You speak calm and eloquently instead of, oh my God, you're a spaz, right? So I think these are the things that we can do to really lay the foundation for a more brave life. And that's truly the work we're doing in the House of Anne right now.
a lot of these principles too, like if you have a very lofty goal to write a book or become an actress or, you know, to do something very lofty, all this certainly applies. But I think a lot of what you're saying can also apply to the, to everyday situations. For like, for example, if you want to ask for a promotion, a lot of people are stymied by fear. They don't know how to do it. They don't do it. If you want to change a job, if you want to, I don't know, change your hair, like a lot of people just on everyday things, you can apply this sort of principle to get past things that seem small, but they contribute to our lives in a positive way. Once we figure out how to get past that fear, big or small.
Yes. Yes. And we can use okay, so you go to the gym to get strong. So if you want to build muscle, how do you get strong, right? You go to the gym and you lift weights, you pick up weights, and the heavier you lift, the stronger you get and the bigger your muscles grow. If you want to be more creative, you need to work that muscle. You'll never be creative if you write once a year, right? You have to prime the machine. If you want to have a better relationship with your spouse, you date them. If you want to have less overwhelm in your life, you try things out with your schedule and you set boundaries. So why don't we do this with fear? And the way we do that in our community is by challenging people, to your point, to start conducting like what we call daily fear experiments. This is a total tactical thing someone could use right now to literally change their life this year. So if you want to get braver, start playing with your fear. So we liken ourselves to fear scientists. So I am always like on the hunt. I'm like the Sherlock Holmes of like doing uncomfortable things. So I'm always thinking about, okay, is this the like easy way to do it? Or could I like mix this up? Let me give you an example. There is going to be big fear experiments we'll need to conduct in our lives. To your point, asking for a promotion, getting married, getting divorced, having kids, not having kids. Like all of these are big juicy, scary things that we may have to face in our life, but you don't need to jump out of a plane or like free solo Mount Everest to work the muscle. You could do things like, okay, everybody else is in suits. You know what? I'm going to wear a sequin jacket to that meeting. You know what? I'm never on camera. I'm going on camera today on Zoom. Today, I'm going to be the first to speak up and add value in the meeting. You know what? I'm going to unfollow this, you know, this family member or this person that makes me feel bad about myself. I'm going to set a boundary today. I'm going to take a different drive to Costco. I'm going to pick up the phone and actually call my dad instead of send him a text, right? These are all small little uncomfortable things that literally make you braver, so that when, not if, when we have to face ourselves and the really big stuff, we have a foundation and we're strong and we can say, okay, diagnosis, okay, global pandemic, okay, seismic shift in my life. I'm ready. I'm ready because I have a foundation and I've done the work. So now I can vibe with it. That is the essence. That is the essence of the work.
This is so brilliant. I know. And it's when you take something that you kind of know, but it's presented to you at the right time and in the right way and with the right perspective and energy, which you have just done. I wish what you are doing with corporations, you were doing with teenagers or even young children, because the self-confidence you can build in yourself by taking what you just said. And I want to summarize some of what we're talking about here. Look, we're going to have fear in our lives no matter what. Don't think there's something wrong with you because you experience it. The question becomes, how are you going to use it? It can either shrink you because you don't want to face it, and so you play smaller and smaller, and my hand is raised, guilty.
Yes.
My words for this year are level up. You can use it in a way where it shrinks you, or you can choose to use it to grow. This is why you call fear your homeboy, because you're using your fear to grow. And we all get that choice. And you're saying, but start small. So that when the big, and start practicing being braver with little things, grow that muscle. And then you're better prepared. I'm the grower, perfectly prepared when something big comes along, because it will.
Yeah, it will. We have a woman in our community. I mean, these are ideas that I've sort of remixed, but we have built the methodology from the stories the soulful success stories we hear in our community. I mean, we have a woman in our community, her name's June. And in 2018, she had a miscarriage. 2019, she had a miscarriage. In March of 2020, she was furloughed. In April of 2020, her husband was furloughed. On March 28th of 2020, she gets the call that she's got cancer. Breast cancer. And so just imagine, take all of that. So June says, and she has this great clip, and we had her on the podcast because I needed to unpack her story because she's like a real life human being. And she goes, you know what? She got furloughed in February and she started really getting into our planner, our community, the methodology, all the things we're doing in the House of And. And she said, she started that in March and she got diagnosed in May. And she goes, you know what? If I would have gotten this diagnosis, and by the way, she's super healthy and in remission and doing so well today. It's incredible. And we're so grateful for that. Aww. But she goes, if I would have gotten this diagnosis in March, I would have gotten a call at work. I would have white knuckled at home. I would have freaked out. I would have lost my mind. I would have thrown myself back into work. She goes, but instead I took a deep breath and I said, okay, I've got something. I've got something that I can't control. So what do I do? I come back to the tools. I come back to the foundation I've laid for myself over the last 4 months, and I lean into it to help me get through what's next. Like, yes, I have cancer. Yes, I don't have a job. Yes, my husband's been furloughed. And here's the next thing I'm going to do, right? I'm not going to do all the things. I'm not going to panic, but I'm going to love myself through this enough to keep taking the next step. And so these are stories, not my stories, but real actual stories inside our community with proof that people are working these steps in a way that allows them to just move through the hard stuff. But it wouldn't happen without the foundation. Like if June didn't have that foundation, who knows what would have happened, right?
Wow.
I love that.
And I'm smiling every time you say yes. And because there's so much meaning in that. Number one, it's the name of your podcast.
It is.
It's a habit. So, and this is what you learned in improv. Yes. And it's the name of your podcast. It's a life philosophy in two words. What you're saying here, I think, and something we've talked about, Jonna and I and Frankie Berry on the show many times before, is look, stuff's going to come down the pike.
Yep.
Right.
That you didn't ask for, you didn't deserve. But that doesn't define you. What defines you is what you choose to do with it. But it's when you resist what's going on in your life, you give it more energy. What you're saying is, yes, I acknowledge you. Crap opportunity or crap thing that just happened to me. Yes. Yep. Okay. Yes. And then the and brings you, okay, and now what? And what's next? What can I do with this? Boy, man, you've summed up life in two words.
And I'm going to take my power back. And I'm taking it back. Like, and I get to decide what happens next, right? I can't control other people, places, or things, but I and only I get to control what happens next. So goodbye self-doubt, goodbye fear, goodbye limiting beliefs, right? Right now, I am going to decide how I'm going to respond to this. And I don't know what's on the other side of this door, but I do know that I have a choice here and my perspective is either going to save me or stall me. And is like, you can say yes in life and still be complacent. So yes, isn't enough. Yes. Puts our feet on the doormat of the house, but like, and is the actual door and is you actually putting your little hand on the handle and opening the door and saying, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to go for it. And let me tell you something, that is where it all begins. And the more people we have in the world doing that, the closer and quicker we can get to being and seeing the change we want to see in the world. People love to talk about advocacy. It's like, yeah, yes, I want change in the world. Yes, I want to fix global warming, whatever it is, right? And okay, so like, what are you gonna do about it? Like, have you ever written a check? Have you ever read an article? Have you ever like called your congressman? Like seriously, like if you want something to change in the world or in your life, we need to open those doors. And so this is something that we can use individually, we can use at work, and we most certainly can use to change the culture of the way a team innovates and stays in forward momentum.
And that is powerful. And I know that we have to wrap up really soon. I just got to tell you guys something that's kind of funny. At least it is to me. So Carol and Frankenberry know this. So my significant other is much younger. Carol used to call him an Abercrombie model, but so he's much, much younger than me. And he's taken a million improv classes. So I only know about improv vicariously through him. But some of our biggest fights would be when he'd want to do an improv with me, since I wasn't taking the classes and he was taking the classes. It took me a while to figure out the yes and. So he'd say a premise and then I'd go off and he'd go, no, 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 you're supposed to yes and. And then I'd be like, well, what are you talking about? And I'd be like, ah, and then we get a big fight. So it never, ever worked. But now I finally got to a point where I totally get the yes and it is really life changing.
It is life changing. It's life changing. It's life changing. I love that. I love that you have someone that knows improv to you.
Judy, okay. This is going by way too fast. I just want to read one more thing from your book and then make sure people know where they can find you, follow you, gather more of your insight and energy. I just want to read one passage from your book. What if instead of fearing failure of the unknown, we started fearing the real bad guy, regret? I love that. And that's what drives you. That's how fear has become your homeboy.
Yes.
I love it 100%. So much. Judy Holler, we're wrapping up here with Judy Holler. She is the
author. We don't want to wrap up.
Fear is my home.
I know.
Too fast. Fear is my homeboy. How to slay doubt, boss up, and succeed on your own terms. Where can people learn more about you, buy your book, follow you, so on?
Well, I would say from a social media perspective, Instagram at Judy, J-U-D-I, Holler, H-O-L-L-E-R is probably where I spend most of my time. But for those of you interested in the methodology and the work we're doing inside the House of And, I got a gift for you and I'll tell you where to go get it. So, so House of And is spelt H-A-U-S of And. .com. And if you, we have a monthly mentorship and we want to give anyone listening one free month. So if you want to come check us out, try before you buy, catch a vibe, kick off the new year. Our first class is January 20th. We meet monthly, office hours and live teachings every month and all kinds of cool stuff. Use the code open the door at checkout and it'll comp out a free month and you could just go check us out and learn more about our methodology and meet some of the instructors and myself. I teach them live every month. So I thought I'd offer that, but House of And, H-A-U-S of And, and then of course myself on Instagram.
Love it. Judy, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us, for opening that door, for having the courage to do all the things you do, and then to share that with the rest of us so that we may live better lives. I appreciate you and your work.
Oh, same. The feelings are mutual. You all are incredible. Love the energy and thanks for having me.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Judy. And I just got to tell you one thing, you know, when it comes to, this whole concept and overcoming fear, embracing fear, you've got a pretty damn good last name for that.
Holla. And that is my maiden name, by the way. So when I got married, I was like, no.
That's it. I love you.
But
I'm going to continue to holler. All right. Well, you're listening to Happy Hour here, and we're not quite done yet this morning. John Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and myself. We will be back with segment number 3. And one more time, thank you very much, Judy Holler, for joining us today. And please, for those listening out there right now, stick around.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with John and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
And welcome back once again to Happy Hour here with John Spilborg and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Frankenberry. Frankenberry.
Man, we were in two different zip codes there.
yeah, you could say that. You could say that. But you know what? How about the fact that you weren't afraid to try?
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, I never get to throw one in. So
congratulations.
It was a sagu from 2 to 3. You've never done that before.
That was his first sagu ever, by the way.
It was.
In 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah, 10 years plus.
Nicely done. Yep. Yeah. So Judy was awesome.
Yes. Oh, her energy is incredible.
Do you not agree?
Can you hear me?
No, she was fantastic. She had incredible energy. She had great advice. So she was a lot of fun to have on. I can't wait to read the rest of her book. I'm about a third of the way through it.
Great. Yeah, that was really awesome. So, yeah. And we went, you know, I love when we have guests, you know, we're supposed to kind of go a certain amount of time, but we could have talked to her. We could still be talking to her because there was just a lot of great information and great energy there.
Oh yeah. Definitely
went by very, very fast.
Yeah. Definitely some energy. She almost made me tired.
Energize your bunny. But before we wrap up, I want to give a shout out to one of our past guests, Sherry Lead. She's been on the show twice. She's the author of The 50-50 Friendship Flow and right. also Make Your Mess Your Message. She was on not that long ago with her second book. And the shout out I want to give her is she showed it to us in her interview, what a class act that she is. But I asked her for a small favor. I have for my book, Hello Beautiful, a number of customer reviews and good ones, which is great. But what also helps the credibility for your book online is when you have an editorial review. So somebody else who's written a book, who's kind of in that field, who can say, yeah, I read it and I agree. So I reached out and said, hey, Sherry, would you be willing to read my book, Hello Beautiful, and give me an editorial review? So not only did she say yes, and I'm like, I can send you either the PDF or the physical copy. She says, no, I just bought the Kindle and I bought the paperback. So she wanted to support me. She lost her dog of 12 years three Aww. Weeks ago.
Aww.
And between Christmas and New Year, still took the time to write a full page, read my book, write a full page review and get it to me besides buying two different versions of my book amongst everything else that's going on in her life. It just... good people. And I wanted to give her a shout out again, Sherry Lee, 50-50 Friendship Flow and Make Your Mess Your Message. What a beautiful person she is. So
nicely
thank you,
done,
Sherry.
Yes, nicely done.
Yeah, that's amazing. Kudos to her. And also, let me just say, kudos to you for asking for a review. I think, you know what? I'm glad you did that. I really am. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes
me
people,
too.
You, if you don't ask, you don't get. And sometimes when you do ask, you don't get. But kudos to both of you. That I love that.
Yeah, thank you. So anywho, thank you, Sherry Lead.
All right. Well, thank you, Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And also thank you to our good friend for hollering at us today and telling us all about how to overcome fear. And we've got more Happy Hour coming your way next week, same time right here. So make sure you join us then. But again, for Jonna and Carol, I'm Frankenberry. Have a good week and please make it a safe one.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.